Thanks for checking out the My City Church podcast today. If this is your first time listening in with us, we want you to know that you are loved. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope that this message inspires you. And now, here is Pastor Jesse Norman.
Well, welcome to My City Church Online. We cannot be more thankful you've chosen to join us today. Wherever you are today, we want to say a massive welcome home to you as we bring church to your home. And today I want to give a big update on COVID-19 and how it's been affecting our church. It's changed so much in the life of our church, but I also understand that we're starting to begin to take steps to moving towards what we would consider normal church. And so beginning next weekend, we're kicking off something brand new. Right now we've been doing services really every 2 hours all day long Sunday. We're gonna change that up and we're only gonna have a single 10 a.m. service on Sundays. And so we will still live broadcast. You'll be able to watch it wherever you are, but we are gonna begin to provide watch parties that are gonna be happening all over the city, really groups of 10, where you can go to somebody's house, you can be in community, you can worship together, you can pray for one another. Even if you have kids, you'll be able to do the kids' curriculum together. And that's our big next step. So that's next Sunday that we are beginning that journey. And then also the weekend after that, we are kicking off groups live across our city. So we've got more than 70 groups kicking off and a place for you to plug into and to begin to enter back into a sense of community as we move from being quarantined or isolated back into being in community. Man, I could not be more excited for this season. And so we're just gonna continue to take steps towards moving back into what we would consider normal church. Well, today we are concluding a series called Moneyopoly, and where we're trying to help you win at the money game. And the first week we talked about getting a vision and really five categories for your finances that we want you to help you get out of debt. We want you to begin to act your wage. We want you to live on a budget. We want you to save and invest. And then finally, we want people to be able to be generous and give. And today we're gonna hone in on what saving and investing looks like for our future, because the Bible has a lot to say about it. I wanna remind you of our theme scripture found in Habakkuk 2:2, and here's what it says. It says, write the vision down. So get a vision for your finances, write it and make it plain on tablets that when you read it, you can run with it. And because God wants you to have a vision for your finances, he wants you to run this race. He wants you to win the money game. And that's why today I want to talk to you from this topic or this thought, leaving a legacy. Leaving a legacy. And I believe that's God's dream for your finances, that it wouldn't just impact your life, but it would leave a legacy behind of making a difference. Let's pray today. Father, we thank you for your presence that is real and tangible. Lord, we pray that, Lord, today's message would encourage people, it inspire people to get a vision for their finances. Lord, and we pray for our church as we begin to move back into public gatherings in small groups of 10. God, that you would cover us, you'd protect us. And Lord, we thank you for all that you're doing. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Well, today I wanted to open up this message really recapping some of the stuff that we've talked about. And I want to do it kind of in a little bit of an illustrative form today. So I've got some buckets here that are kind of labeled. Over here, I've got really our tithe. Over here, I've got our living expenses. And then if you're just starting out getting out of debt, what we would have is our emergency fund. And so imagine with me for a moment, it's payday, okay? It's payday and you got paid $10, okay? Now hopefully you're making more than $10, but just go with me on the illustration here. I've got 10 ones here. If we were going to sit down and live on a budget, what we would do is we would look at what we have. We have 10 ones. And then what we're gonna do is we're gonna prioritize our money. We're gonna allocate our money to specific buckets, okay? This is called living on a budget. And the first dollar, which is 10% of what I have, that goes to God. That's the tithe. And we're not gonna rob from God. We're gonna give back to God what is his. So the rest of our $9 is blessed. So the first thing that we're gonna do is we're gonna tithe. $1 goes in there. Now, if you've been living in debt or you've been living beyond your wage, what has happened is that the rest of the nine has been going into this category called living expenses, okay? But you have made up your mind, you're gonna make some changes to your budget. And so what you've done is you've saved, you've cut back, maybe you cut cable bills, maybe you sold a car and traded it in for something cheaper, but now you've taken your living expenses down to really $7. And so now what you have is you have two additional dollars. Now, what you are going to begin to do with your additional dollars is you are going to begin to funnel that away into an emergency fund so we don't go into any more debt. We're going to try to get the $2,000 in that emergency fund. And God is beginning to see this, and he's looking at what you're doing, and he's going, all right, that's awesome. So now you've been blessed because you were given a babysitting opportunity. So guess what? You got two more dollars that month, and now you begin to put that in the emergency fund. And as you're putting it in that emergency fund is building and building and building until you get to $2,000. And guess what? You've got an emergency fund right now. You don't have to fear something going wrong in your life because your emergencies are covered. Now, what begins to happen is that once we get that emergency fund, what we're going to do is we're going to begin to pay down debt. See, the reality is that your margin is going to go somewhere. And if you're in debt, the first thing you need to do is you need to go into emergency fund. Then we're going to begin to pay down our debt. Now, God has been watching you be diligent. And so guess what? You got a promotion at work. You got a raise. So now you went from making $10 a month to $13 a month. But because you've been living on a budget, the first thing you do, and the first thing that we always do, is we're going to tithe. And then from there, we've cut down our living expenses. And so we are going to take, you know, $7, and we are going to put that in our living expenses. And now because we got a raise, we've got $5 left, and now we are going to begin to attack our debt, and we're going to begin to pay down that debt until we are out of debt, everything but our house. Now here's where our financial world begins to get exciting, is because now what we're going to begin to do in our life is we are going to begin to build wealth. See, the reality is that this bucket is the same for everybody. It's just whether you're falling behind, you're paying off the past, or whether you're building a legacy for the future. So now you've got a few other things going on. In fact, you're starting to, you know, gain some money here or there, and now you've gotten a little bit of a more of a raise. God's blessed you because he's seeing that if you've been faithful in a little, you've been faithful with much. And so now you've got more money than you have had before. And so first thing you're going to do is you're going to tithe. Then the next thing you're going to do is you're going to have your living expenses. Well, now you've created even more margin. You're having more success. So now all this money is going to begin to go into here called building wealth. And the reality is that building wealth is a good thing. I think for a long time in Christianity, the idea of becoming rich or becoming wealthy was frowned upon because the Bible says that it's harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God than it is the camel to pass through the eye of a needle. But here's the question that I've had for you is when has God called you to do something easy? No, God wants you to build wealth in your life because he wants you to leave a legacy that is bigger than yourself. Now, there's a few ways that people make money, and as we talk about this, we're going to grab a hold of some things that I think are going to help us save, and they're going to help us invest. And the first way people make money is just simply this. It's people making money, which means you got up, you went to work, and then every 2 weeks or however often you get paid, you get a paycheck. And it's people making money. Here's what the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians. It says this, "The one who is unwilling to work shall not eat," which means God expects you to work hard, and he expects there to be a return for your labor, that you are a person, and because you are a person, you should have a work ethic, and that work ethic should be making money. And so what it is it's output and then return. Output and return. It's energy expended by a person to make money. But the second way that we can make money is this. It's money making money. And your money, the beautiful thing about your money is it never takes a day off. It will get out there and work for you 365 days a year, 24 hours a day. And when you begin to build wealth in your life, what you begin to do is rather than just expending energy to make money, you release your money to go out there and work for you. By the way, this is a biblical principle that God wants you to grab a hold of. Matthew chapter 25, it says this, "The one who had received 5 bags of gold went at once, and what did he do? He put his money to work." So he actually released his money to go work, and what? He gained 5 bags more. Here's what I want you to understand. There is a process of releasing your money into wise investments where now your money is working for you and it is gonna bring increase in your life. Here's the thing that I need you to understand about putting your money to work. And here's the process you gotta go through is putting your money to work is about first saving. So you actually have to have money, okay? You don't go into debt to put your money to work. It's not your money. You gotta save first, and then once you've saved, then you begin to invest. Whenever I think about investing, I heard this joke this one time about this guy. He was talking to God, and he's going, God, you're so big, you're so massive, you're so expansive, you created the universe. And he goes, God, what's 1 million years like for you? And God goes, oh, just, you know, it's like 1 second for you. 1 million years is like 1 second for you. And he goes, wow, God, that's pretty incredible. And then the guy asks him another question. He goes, what's $1 million for you, like for you? And he goes, oh, that's like a penny for me. And so the guy is thinking, he thinks he's pretty smart. And he goes, well, God, I was just wondering, could I have one of your pennies? And God goes, sure. I just need you to wait 1 minute. If you get it, if a million years is like 1 second to God or 1 minute to God, the reality is that God has everything, but it takes time to build wealth. And we kind of want the miracle to win the lottery, to hit the jackpot. But the reality is that if you're gonna build wealth, here's what you gotta understand. If you wanna build wealth, you're gonna have to have patience. You're gonna have to have some patience to your life. Let me just illustrate this for a moment. So imagine with me for a moment that you were able to save $5 a day. Like, I know that even may feel like a stretch right now if things are tight, but it can be done. Imagine if you just drink water rather than going to Starbucks. You just were determined in your heart that you were gonna save $5 a day. And then you were gonna take that $5 and you were gonna invest it. Now this illustration is kind of working off of a 12% return on investment, which for a lot of people may seem high, but just work with me here and hopefully you can see the principle that I'm talking about. If you took $5 a day over 5 years, at the end of those 5 years, you would have $12,000. If you kept on going, if you kept on saving $5 a day and you went to 10 years, at the end of that 10 years, you would have $32,000. But let's say you're really determined, you just kept on going. Just $5 a day, you kept saving. At the end of 20 years, you would have $150,000. Now we're starting to talk about something. Now you're actually starting to build some wealth and your money's going out there and it's producing this thing called compounding interest. So every time you climb the rung of the ladder, the return on investment is bigger and bigger and bigger. Let's say you got really serious and you said, hey, I'm gonna do $5 a day for 30 years. You would have $500,000. Let's say you went a step further, 40 years. So if you're 25, at $5 a day, by the time you were 65, you would have $1.7 million. I mean, that's a great way to retire. That's leaving a legacy. Let's say you got even more serious and you went 50 years. So by the time, if you started when you were 25, by the time you were 75, you would have $6 million in the bank. Here's the crazy thing. Here's the question that I want you to grab a hold of today. What could you do for God with $6 million? Not what stuff you could buy, not how much of a bigger house you could have, but what could you do for God in the area of leaving a legacy and making a massive impact for the kingdom of God if you were just faithful, small, $5 a day? By the end of your life with $6 million, you can leave a legacy, you can make an impact. By the way, the Bible is really fond of this kind of thinking. Proverbs chapter 13 says this, a good person, how many wanna be a good person? I wanna be a good person, leaves an inheritance for their children's children, which means they've built up so much wealth that they're able to pass it off to their kids. And what happens is that they change the generational pathway moving forward for the rest of their family's history. They change their kids' trajectory. They change their grandkids' trajectory. Here's what I'm trying to get you to do today in your financial world. You have to get a vision bigger than yourself because a vision that's only for yourself really isn't worth living for, but you gotta do this. You gotta get a vision for the next generation. What are you gonna do in your financial world that your kids grow up differently than you did? What are you gonna do in your financial world that set your grandkids and their grandkids up to win? Here's what I'm saying. There is no instant success. This thing is gonna take some time, but let's get a vision for leaving a legacy and changing things for the next generation. Now, I wanna give you really a tried and true formula if you're interested in building wealth and changing things for the next generation in your life and making an impact, living a legacy. It's simply this. Here's the formula. Money, so you gotta save, you gotta have some, then you gotta invest it, plus time, plus consistency. So you just leave it, you let it work, you keep on putting more in, equals wealth. If you can get this long-range vision that I'm gonna get a 30-year vision for my finances, and I'm gonna take my money, and I'm gonna take that 30 years of time, and I'm gonna be consistent, $5 a day. Maybe you can do more than that. I'm trying to get you to grab a hold of a vision, not a dollar amount. If I can do that, I will cross the finish line generating wealth, and I will be a good man that leaves an inheritance for my kids and their kids. There is no quick way to get wealth. In fact, Proverbs really addresses that. Proverbs chapter 13 says this. It says, dishonest money dwindles away, which means like the hustle, the get it now, the kind of shady kind of deals and quick money and quick schemes and all this kind of stuff, it always dwindles away. But whoever gathers money, what? Little by little. Money plus time plus consistency, what? Little by little makes it grow. You're gonna gain wealth, but it's gonna be little by little. It's taking God's principles and understanding that if you just take those principles and be faithful with them, you will win at the money game. Here's what I want you to grab a hold of. God has principles. He talks about money 2,500 times in the Bible. The book of Proverbs is like getting a bachelor's degree in finance, if you'll just read it. God has principles. Faithfully implement them and change the generations to come. What would happen if you had a mindset revolution with your money and you started to get a long range plan and you started to say, man, you know what? I'm gonna leave a legacy. I'm gonna implement God's principles. And so today I wanna give you really three principles that are tried and true principles that if you will implement them, you will consistently build wealth. And here's the first principle I want you to grab a hold of. Don't try to get rich quick. Don't try to get rich quick. There's so many schemes out there. There's so many things out there that says, oh, if you do this, or if you pick the right stock, or you do this right thing, you're gonna get rich quick. But God's word, listen, there's a lot of pitfalls for people who have a desire to get rich quick rather than building wealth little by little. Here's what 1 Timothy chapter 6 says. It says, those who wanna get rich, so there's nothing wrong with wanting to build wealth, but this is a different spirit. It's like, I gotta get it now. Like there's a level of thirst, of hunger, of greed, of willing to cut corners, of willing to put myself in jeopardizing places. I'm playing games. Like those kind of people who they just wanna get rich, they fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires. So that desire is gonna cause you to make unwise decisions. And over time, you're gonna sabotage the wealth that you've built rather than just little by little, what money plus time plus consistency leads wealth. Because if you run after money just to get rich quick, here's what's gonna happen. It's gonna ruin you. You're gonna wind up in destruction. If you don't believe me that our world is set up to prey on this feeling of, man, I just wanna get rich quick, just visit a casino. Now, I'm not gonna harp on this very much for a moment, but you can literally walk around the casino, and as people are playing, you can hear this get rich in the air. They actually put it in the air. They put sounds of the slot machines hitting. So you go, oh, that could be me. What is it? They're preying on this desire to not do the hard work little by little, not to put money plus time plus consistency equals wealth. No, what they're saying is like, hey, take a gamble, take a risk, and you know what? We have all the power because you can hear the money in the air, can't you? Can't you? Ding, 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 ding. Can you hear that? You could have that too. You could have that too. Just play. And what they're doing is that they're really smart because they're preying on this. And you know what? They're preying on this desire that we all kind of want to hit the lotto. We all kind of want to get rich quick. We don't want to change our lifestyle. We don't want to do the hard work. And they are robbing people of their money because why? They understand the power dynamic. They understand how to motivate people to lose what they have rather than invest what they have. And here's what you got to set a goal for in your life. You're not going to get rich quick, but here is the thing that you can begin to do quickly. Your goal has to be this, to flip the power dynamic. To flip the power dynamic. So when you are in debt, who has the power dynamic? The lender. So here's what I want you to see. How are others getting rich in our world? How are the credit card companies getting rich? How are the people that lend, how are they getting rich? By what? By getting you into debt. So they are putting their money to work by giving it to you. They're saying, you are gonna pay me a 7, sometimes 15, sometimes 20% interest rate. They are letting their money work for them while what? They take your money away from you. How are they getting rich? By getting you into debt. So here's, I know this isn't like revolutionary. You're not gonna get rich by hitting the lottery. I mean, it could happen, but I think it's something like 75% of people that hit the lottery go bankrupt in 5 years because they don't know how to do little by little. They don't know how to manage it. So how are you going to get rich? Well, here's how you're going to get rich, by becoming the lender. That you got to build enough wealth that you can release your money to go create interest for you. Listen, just look around the world at people that are succeeding. They're not doing it by playing games or get rich quick schemes. They're doing it by letting their money go out and work for them. Here's what I need you to grab a hold of. Just with a normal rate of return, your money will double every 7 years. So just trust the process. Be a person who really grabs a hold of, man, I'm not gonna play like little games and try to get rich quick and try to get. No, I'm just gonna be faithful. I'm gonna really take this equation really seriously that says money plus time plus consistency equals wealth. That's first principle. There is no quick, get rich quick scheme. So just get that out of your mind and say, you know what? I'm gonna change that in. I'm gonna exchange that in for being faithful. I'm gonna build wealth. I'm gonna let money plus time plus consistency build wealth in my life. Principle number two, if you're gonna be an investor, is this. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. Like, just don't put all your eggs in one basket. And now, this is a principle that you may have heard. It's kind of a cliche term, but it's so true. But not only that, it's biblical. Here's what Ecclesiastes has to say, chapter 11, verse 2. It says, invest in 7 ventures. Yes, in 8. So he's saying, you need to take your wealth and spread it around in good investments. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. Why? You do not know what disaster may come upon the land. So what he's saying is you got 7 investments, one's in farming, one's in real estate, and a disaster comes, like a tornado or a flood or a storm. He's saying one of those is gonna survive. It's not gonna take you out. And you gotta be smart to invest, diversify your investments so that what? No matter what comes your way, you can stand the test of time. I see people do this all the time, that they'll ask their friends, you got a quick a little stock tip, and just give me some insider information, or do you know where I can put a bunch of money in and then pull it out and get it back out? But the reality is that every time you're doing that, you're basically like walking through the casino. You're gambling with your money, and the reality is that you don't know what kind of disaster is coming around the corner. That company could be so financially sound and they get hit with COVID-19 and their market collapses, problems collapse. So that's why you want diversification in your financial investments. Because why? Here's what I want you to understand. Don't invest what you are unwilling to lose. It's just the facts of the matter. Investments come with a level of risk, but that's why you wanna spread out your risk as your money works for you, because if you lose one, you can look at that and go, I was willing to lose that. I was willing to take the risk so my money could go out there and work for me. By the way, this is found in the parable of the talents. The guy who got the least was afraid that he would lose what he had, so he took it and buried it in one place. And his master says, you could have at least went and put it into an investment so it drew interest. We have to be people that are not afraid to invest, but we also have to be wise in our investment. Because why? We want to make sure that if we do lose something, it doesn't bankrupt us. Here's what I really want you to understand is that if all of this is really complex, here's what I would say to you. Unless your gift is financial investment, you need to get an advisor. Don't try to do this thing on your own. Don't take tips from friends and put all your eggs in one basket. No, get with somebody who is wise, who knows how to do this. This is why I love this thing called mutual funds. Basically, a mutual fund is simply, if I had $100 and my friend had $100 and we had 100 other friends that had $100, we all put it together and we give it to somebody who knows what they're doing. So they're gonna go out and they're gonna diversify. They're not gonna put all the eggs in one basket. They're gonna put some in stocks, some in bonds, maybe some in gold, maybe some over here, maybe some over there. And they're gonna divide it and they're gonna let the money go work. Listen, these kinds of things are tried and true principles that what? You can consistently continue to build wealth. So important that you don't risk the farm putting all of your eggs in one basket, but you consistently make wise investments and diversify them. Because why? If a disaster comes or a storm comes, you will stand the test of time. So principle number two is don't put all of your eggs in one basket. And then principle number three is this: we are not going to invest in things we don't understand. Like, just simply put, don't invest in things that you do not understand. I was doing some research kind of looking at this. In 1999, one of the hottest stocks out there, one of the hottest companies, the most bought stock during that time was General Electric. The company was doing great, but number two under General Electric, and most of us kind of understand what General Electric does. I mean, they make, you know, televisions and they make, you know, refrigerators. We kind of understand everybody needs that, and it kind of makes a little bit of sense why they were doing so well, because they make actual consumer products that every person uses all the time. But there was also this company called Lucent Technology, and for some of you, you may have remembered that, but it was like the stock was going killer. They had generated almost like $258 billion worth of wealth, and if you bought $1,000 worth of stock, if you were to literally own that stock today, you know how much money you would have? $52. $52. Because why? It was a flavor of the month investment. And so what people went out and did is they invested in a whole bunch of things they didn't understand. They didn't understand how the company works. They didn't understand fully the product. Here's the crazy thing to think about. They would have been better to take that $1,000 and go and just buy Coca-Cola, like literally the can. Just drink it all, save the cans, and at the end of the same 10 years, they could have took the aluminum cans, went and turned them back in, and had more money than they would have gained investing in something they did not understand. You gotta have some level of understanding of where you are putting your money. Does it make sense to you? Do you understand it? That if you're a home builder, man, real estate would probably be an awesome place for you to invest. Because why? You understand some of the fundamentals. So don't invest in places that you don't understand. By the way, this is biblical. Proverbs chapter 24 says this. It says, by wisdom a house is built. And through what? Understanding it is established. And through knowledge, its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures. Which means your money is gonna do okay, but if you understand what you are investing in, you are gonna make what? More wise investments. You're gonna understand your investments more. You're gonna have more knowledge about it. And the end result is that you're gonna find beautiful treasures beginning to flow your way. When me and Angela were living in Miami, we had some friends that were quite wealthy people, and they had another friend who literally, this person invented the Cat 5 like cables. Like, he invented like Ethernet cables, like what our internet runs on. And he's very, very wealthy. And he had come out with a new invention that he was like, this is gonna change everything. This is gonna change all the internet. And he said, hey, do you wanna invest? And you know, pastor. And so for me, I was like, man, we only had a little bit of money in the first place, but it like triggered me. And I was going, oh man, this, Maybe I can get rich quick. Maybe I can make a lot of money quickly. And so I went and pulled out a sizable chunk of change that we had and made an investment into something that I knew nothing about. I know nothing about Ethernet cables, how the internet works. I have no idea how on earth any of that works, but I made an investment because I was hoping that, man, I could make some progress quickly. And I made it, and would you know, 1 year later, you know how much money we had out of that money? Zero. You know why? Because I had invested in something I did not understand. I had invested in something that made me excited, but I had no understanding of whether it would work, whether it was not. I was just excited, hoping to what? Get rich quick. Not understanding that, man, it's little by little that we build wealth that really grows and is sustainable and generates the kind of return that we are looking for. Here's what I want you to understand. If you don't understand it, sometimes the best investment is the one you don't make. Like, if you don't understand it, if you don't have your head wrapped around it, almost very, very hard to be faithful with something you don't understand. In fact, I would say one of the best investments that you can make is to find something that has a good rate of return in an area that you fully grab a hold of. Like, it makes sense to you. It's intuitive. I would go a step further. Maybe you're passionate about it. Like, there's some things that just resonate because why? That if you're just investing in stuff just because somebody told you, you might wind up like I did and like Lucent Technology did, where just it all evaporates. But invest in stuff that you understand. Look at a company. Do you understand it? Do you understand what's going on? Do the homework so your money can get out there and work for you. Here's the reality is I believe this. God wants you to save. He wants you your savings to turn into investment. He wants your investments to be things that generate wealth in your life. And here's why. We build wealth to leave a legacy. To leave a legacy. I want you to imagine with me for a moment that at the end of your life, if you just did the $5 a day thing and you retired with 1.7 million or 6 million, depending on how long you did it for, and you just made up your mind that, you know, you weren't gonna just waste that in retirement. And at the end of your life, you were able to leave a great inheritance to your kids. But you didn't just give them money. You taught them the principles that helped you generate that wealth. You taught them how to handle their money. You taught them how to save. From savings, you taught them how to invest. Now, they are in a place when you leave an inheritance, they didn't need your money anyway, but now they are able to compound that, and generation after generation after generation is being changed. What could you do for God if you begin to build some wealth? I think one of the greatest things that I want to leave behind is things that outlive me. And this is one thing that I can do is give my kids an inheritance that outlives me, that changes the trajectory of our family tree. What if we were able to leave a legacy by helping build churches? That once we are gone, the church buildings that we've built, you know what they're doing? They're still being filled with people's lives being changed, people being saved, people being healed, people hearing messages like you are hearing today about how to change the course of generations. What would happen if you got that mindset? I can leave an impact beyond my life. You would probably look at that next debt purchase a whole lot differently. I'm not worried about getting right now. I want to live my life to leave a legacy. Here's what I believe. We will know we are winning the money game when at the end of our life, the way we've stewarded, been faithful, and invested leaves a legacy that lives beyond us. And that's my prayer for you today, that you would get a vision. And I want to remind you, Habakkuk 2:2 says, get a vision. Write it down plainly so you can run with it. God wants you to run with this vision. I'm going to live my life to leave a legacy behind. I want to take a moment. I want to pray for you because I believe if you're in debt right now, God wants to move mountains. If you're just beginning to invest, God wants to fill you with wisdom. He wants to do something great in your financial world. Father, we thank you for every person who's watching this. God, help us to get a vision bigger than what we can get in this life. Lord, may we little by little build wealth that we might leave a legacy to our kids and their kids. May we build churches. May we be people of vision, and we live a life that's bigger than just what we can get, but we make investments that change generations. Lord, we love you and we praise you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hey, I want to talk to one more group of people as you're watching this. If today your life is not right with Jesus, and here's what I mean by that, that you can't honestly answer, my sin and my shame have been forgiven. Not just theoretically, but I know it because the Holy Spirit lives in me. And he confirms that I'm a child of God. If you don't have that confidence today, right here, right now is your moment to say, you know what? I'm making a decision in my heart. I'm gonna cross over, and you know what? I'm gonna turn back to God. If that's you today, I wanna lead you in a prayer. And we're gonna pray, and you can repeat the words after me. And I wanna tell you, it's not the words of this prayer that save us. It's the condition of our heart saying, Jesus, I'm giving my life to you. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. So right now, Jesus, I give you my life. Become the Lord of my life. I give you my past. I give you my present. I give you my future. I'm yours, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen. Hey, if you pray that prayer, we wanna celebrate you. We wanna say a massive welcome home, welcome to the family. Stay on at the end of service. We're gonna give you directions on how to take next steps. Well, thanks for joining us today. We're gonna go to God in one more song of worship because I'm believing that he's gonna move mountains in your life. Let's worship together.
Thanks for checking out the My City Church podcast. We hope that this message inspired you to love God, love people, and lead in life. If you'd like to connect with us further, please visit us on the web at mycitychurch.cc. Until next time, we are believing that the best is yet to come in your life.